Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
All right, so we're going to talk about the FDA's role in regulating supplements. Have you ever wondered really what the FDA does as far as regulating supplements go? My guest is Dr. Daniel Fabricant. He is the executive director and CEO of the Natural Products Association, the nation's largest and oldest trade association representing the natural products industry. He also served as the director of the divisions of dietary supplement programs at the FDA, where he directed all agency policy, public affairs, and regulatory action regarding the dietary supplement industry. Dr. Fabricant, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you so much for having me on, Dr. Mike.
You've been busy for a very long time, haven't you? You've done a lot.
Yeah, very, very busy. It's kind of, like dog years. I think it's an exciting time to be involved, it's on the regulatory side or on the industry side. So much growth, and, you have half the population
right.
uses dietary supplements on a daily basis. So it's there's a lot out there.
Absolutely. Let's get right in. The first thing I want to do before we go into really what the FDA does as far as regulation, let's talk a little bit about Dr. Oz just for a sec here, okay?
Sure.
Because this is all over the news. People are asking about this, and you know, he was in front of the Senate Commerce Committee, and they were kind of grilling him for using some words like miracle weight loss pill, which let me be honest with you. I as a medical doctor, I don't care for those kind of words, to be honest with you. So I think he's, at times he does cross a line a little bit there. But you were also there. You gave a testimony as well. So I'd kind of like for you to share with my listeners, what did you tell the committee, and what is your take on these weight loss products and the advertisement of them?
Well, I think first and foremost, Dr. Mike, like you, I think the responsible thing to do, and we do this and we tell our members to do this, is really, dietary supplements, whether it's for weight loss, bone health, whatever you're looking to use a supplement for, it's really part of a healthy lifestyle that includes diet and exercise. So I think that's
right.
one of the key messages we wanted to communicate. Also that there is, we think fraud is fraud, and fraud is terrible if that's happening, especially in the weight loss area. And we actually, as an association, have an educational foundation that does something about it. We go out there and we look at the marketplace, and if there are claims that sound too good to be true, well, we kind of tap those companies on the shoulder and advise them of that and see if we can get them to make those changes. And if they're not willing to, most have been willing to, we do work with the federal authorities to try to, reconcile the situation.
So there probably are some key words you look for, like miracle weight loss product, right? I mean, that word miracle is probably not a good word to be using.
Sure, it's got to be science-based. You've got to have,
right.
You've got to have something behind it. Also, if people are claiming about disease states, things like obesity, well, that's illegal. So anything like that, I think the standard razor holds true. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Weight loss doesn't come
right.
in a bottle, and while supplements may help people, it does really begin with diet and exercise.
Right. And to be fair, and let's be fair about it, some of the ingredients that Dr. Oz has talked about, for instance, the green coffee bean extract, Garcinia, there are some small studies showing some efficacy in weight loss. So he does talk about ingredients that have some research behind them, and I'm not sure if that came out very clearly for him when he was in front of the Senate. One more thing before we go on to talk about the FDA, what is your take, and this is just something that came to my mind, last year, 2013, every time I turned around, there was another negative headline going on about supplements. What's your take on the bias of negative media coverage on supplements?
Well, I think it's funny, and especially in the wake of Dr. Oz, people talked about there was the John Oliver skit on HBO, and I think, a lot of times folks aren't interested in the totality of the facts. They are interested in getting a good soundbite, or in the case of John Oliver, they're interested
right.
in poking fun. So I think, those are the scenarios, and hopefully people aren't getting all their news from those sorts of things. Hopefully they're looking to resources like you, Dr. Mike, to get their news from and really get, the full balance of what's out there. As you said, there are a lot of studies that have shown a positive effect, and I think people always need to consider the totality of the evidence. One study does not make the science good or bad. It's really got to be the totality of the evidence.
And when you see a negative headline, it's always important to remember that all studies have some limitations to them, and we need to teach that a little bit more to our listeners. And I want to go ahead and just remind, you know, Dr. Fabricant said it, not me. Everybody should listen to my show. He said it. I'm going to use that. No, just kidding. Let's talk a little bit about the FDA. And there's so much confusion here, right? What exactly, and you're the perfect person to ask this to because you of your past working with them, what exactly is the FDA doing to regulate the industry? And what are some of the things that we think they're doing that they're actually not doing? There's just a lot of myths. Can you clarify this, summarize it for
us? Sure. I think the first myth is you hear that the industry is unregulated. That's a complete falsehood, complete falsity. There are really a few key regulatory pillars that the agency is out there actively engaged on and taking actions on. The first and probably the most bountiful are good manufacturing practices, and the agency inspects facilities to make sure they're compliant with those practices. Those are quality standards that all manufacturers, distributors of dietary supplements have to meet, and that's a significant undertaking. I think whatever people buy, they expect that those sorts of things have quality standards in place, and people are testing and making sure that they meet those. So that's really what the GMPs cover, that what's on the label is in the bottle. So that's first. Second are claims. I think on the wake of Dr. Oz, if a claim sounds way too good to be true, it's, you know, it may likely be not truthful and misleading. So if a claims to treat, cure, mitigate a disease state, for example, you know, dietary supplements, or to balance a healthy lifestyle, not to treat degenerative diseases like cancer or Alzheimer's. So when they see those claims, the agency has the authority, and it clearly has acted in the past on such matters. So that's two. Then you also have ingredient reviews. Firms have to submit what's called a new dietary ingredient notification to the agency before going to market if it was something that wasn't in the market prior to the enactment of the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act. And lastly, firms, and it's for the this is the only category of food, dietary supplements are regulated as a category of food, manufacturers have to submit serious adverse event reports to the agency if they're notified about them, and firms have to have a mailing address or phone number on their label to where okay. consumers can send those in.
So how well is the but I guess the question then is, are they, how well are they doing it when it comes to that? Are they actually enforcing these things? Does the FDA need more power to regulate, or do they simply need to enforce some of these things that are already in place for them? Because I know, what was it last year when there was some issues with some injectables, there was some contamination, FDA commissioner had...
That was pharmacy. So those aren't dietary supplements, the injectables. So with dietary supplements, when I was at the agency leading the division, we actually, I think, led the whole agency in the number of seizures of products and injunctions, which is significant. So the agency has the authority. Now, of course, the agency, it's a big agency, is responsible for a lot. One out of every $4 in this country is spent on an FDA-regulated good. And so, you know, their appropriations may not be consistent with that. So it may be an issue of funding. It also may be an issue of willpower. I think that's the key consideration, is really making sure that the agencies are coordinated properly with Department of Justice, who takes the enforcement action, so that when there are problems, the agency is swiftly taking those things off the shelves.
So let me ask you that. We only have about 60 seconds left. Why did you go from the FDA to the NPA? What made you make that switch?
Well, I love this organization, 78-year-old organization. I think it has a great story to tell. We did a lot in my time at the agency, which I'm very proud of, really moved the needle towards making a difference. And I think I see this as an extension of that. I think there's an opportunity to influence, with the market factor, in addition to some of the legal factors that are in play. Okay. So I'm really excited about that.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what the future holds for regulation. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.